Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Good, because it's time, Jeffrey, if I'm recording. Oh yeah, for the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast Championship Week, post-MLK, and just, you know, post-Vegas. Of course, we'll get into that. This is the All the Fields Celebrate Jose podcast. You're listening to us right now. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Go on the Twitters because it's blowing up now at ATF Fantasy. Will and Jeff here to just get into all the rigmaroles. You know, I mean, lots of stuff to talk about. Some not exciting, some very exciting, including when the heck is the Taco Bell grab bag going to be revealed? That is a big one. We are well into 2021 and still no news of that.
Yep. Yeah.
Jeff, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm excited. I'm glad to be here with you. You survived. Want to get a quick, this is not on the rundown. Want to get a peek behind your kimono. Was I the one who picked up the most of the Vegas calls this weekend? I feel like I was a party, you know, maybe not for very long with the best service, to at least four or five of maybe the seven or eight calls that went down. I mean, I feel like my odds are pretty in my favor there.
I can actually look if you want me. So what happened, I know we're going to get into Vegas anyway, but let's just with this. So we did a lot of Snapchat calls, and then it turns out, you know, we were next to each other. So it, you know, Jeff, Scott and I. So it kind of freaked out every once in a while, like, because he would randomly pick up two, and then just having two people next to each other, not great. So what we ended up doing at times was just start FaceTiming random people. You were one of the people we would just FaceTime each other or whatever. And you were second, person picked up the most. Ashley Soyson picked up. We called her probably 30 times because she was the one person who was picking up every time we called.
Well, that's good.
But I mean, talk about but FaceTime, like not just calling on the phone. I mean, she would pick up no matter. So like, starting right, I'm looking right now. Snapchat, FaceTime, 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 Snapchat, Snapchat, FaceTime. I'm going through the. I'm just not saying who I'm calling, but just and then we do two straight Snapchat calls to the scums. No one would pick up. So when I call FaceTime Ashley, scums, no one would pick up. So FaceTime Jeff twice, FaceTime Greg twice, FaceTime Jason Bell, FaceTime Greg. FaceTime Jason Bell twice, FaceTime Ashley, FaceTime Jeff, FaceTime Ashley twice. I mean, I'm still going. FaceTime Jason, FaceTime Muff, for some reason, even though I was with him. FaceTime Ashley, FaceTime Jason, FaceTime Jason twice, FaceTime Jason, FaceTime Jason, FaceTime Ashley, FaceTime Jeff, FaceTime Jeff.
Wow.
FaceTime my boss, Tom.
Jason.
FaceTime Tommy.
Oh.
FaceTime Ashley. FaceTime Ashley, FaceTime Scums twice. FaceTime Ashley, FaceTime Scums, FaceTime Jason, FaceTime Jeff twice. I'm into Sunday now. FaceTime Greg, FaceTime Scotty. Ooh, a little Scotty surprise. FaceTime Greg.
Ooh,
and then spicy. FaceTime Scotty Monday. I'm assuming that's on our way to the airport or something. So there you go. That was a lot. Now, in
wow.
terms of picking
Jason
up.
Jason Bell, I think got a
yeah,
lot
he did.
Of opportunities.
And
there.
You know what happened is, so you did pick up the most out of Ashley. What happened is Jason gave us a tease. He picked up, I think, the first time we called him. And then he said yeah. he would call us back because he also lives in a place where there's no cell service within, you know, 45 miles. So he needs to get to Wi-Fi.
Yep.
He also looks like a lumberjack. It's like he's trying out for the new Dexter. He
quite beautiful.
Then never called us back. So,
shocker.
Well, there you go. So you picked up second.
All right.
I would say second most and then definitely the most out of the scums group, but – the over-under on 40 calls, I think that's the over. But we said we would do, the over-under on the scum Snapchats? That's definitely the under. But total calls, I think, hit
yeah.
the over.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting to know the limitations of the Snapchat mm-hmm. platform with people, you know, sitting right next to you. You had to revert to the old Apple option.
Not sure why I FaceTimed Muff. I don't know what we were doing at that point.
Yeah. You must have lost each other
that could
at
be,
some
that
point.
Could have happened.
You're at the slots, and you probably were just like, ooh, Velociraptors, ooh.
We don't speak of that.
So, We'll have a tease on the celebration. This is the Jose edition of the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Hit me up on Vegas. It looked to be, you know, I was some of the surprise, not surprise, but, you know, I would see in the background, there was a good amount of people there. Definitely not the masses of Vegas, but then again, it is, you know, winter time. How was it? You know, how was the gambling experience? How was the sports betting, the parlays, the football? Where did you?
I'll start with the good. Sports betting is awesome right now. They have, and Muff kind of teased this with me a couple months ago, now they just have electronic machines that you can go to 24 hours.
Perfect.
And constantly look at, you know, which obviously ends up being bad for us because we're constantly doing it. and just having just updated constant bets on these machines. It was awesome. So if at 2 a.m. you felt a little spicy, if 2 in the afternoon you wanted to do a little one, like you just keep going. You can mess around with parlays or just keep pushing buttons just like as if you were online and see what your odds would be and stuff like that. So that is really good and convenient. And then obviously turning them in, you would have to go to a sports book that was open. And then in terms of the people there, definitely less than usual. And last year we went for MLK and for the playoffs, and there was way more people last year. But it did make it easier to get places to watch the games and get places to gamble or to get tables or to just go out to eat. We made a quote reservation for a place to watch Packers Rams, but that's just because of COVID. Like they didn't. It's not like we needed a reservation.
Yeah.
We were able to stay there for 4 hours, and then we moved on to the other place the next day for Browns Chiefs, which is the new sports bar, which is at the Park MGM. Got a nice, perfect view there. Amazing place there, and no trouble at all. Like we walked up 15 minutes before the game. We're like, let's just try it and see what happens. So that was great. Tiki's, have you know? We each had 3 5 skulls.
Muff looked about ready to pass out after the 3 5
Honestly,
skulls. It looked like he was struggling.
So what I would say is before we made it to Frankie's, we were kind of on the edge of passing out because we'd been up, you know, all day watching football and drinking during the day for Chiefs-Browns. Chiefs-Browns. And then we had to go watch Bucks-Saints, and we knew that Frankie's wasn't going to have a TV. It's just like this, you know, little dive tiki bar that plays music videos. That's what they play on their TVs. So we started watching Bucks Saints a little bit, like in our room or something. And they're like, all right, we just got to do it. We got to make the switch and just call an Uber and make it happen. So thankfully, the power of phones, we watched the game on my phone. And it's funny because the bartender was too, because he's a Saints fan. So he was turning around watching it. But during this is probably the best part of the trip. During this 3-5 school experience between me and Scott, we came up with a new game. And actually, it's not even this game that I'm teasing in the rundown. This is just a whole new game. And it was 20 questions, more or less. Guess the high schooler that we went to high school with.
Oh, me.
And it was quite a game. I mean, there were Sable Tilleries, there were Megan Konishi's, there were Steven Tedesco's, you know, the whole just name the people. You had to guess clues. Jordan Bowditch was one. Ooh, wow. Deep pull on that one.
Oh, wow.
So that was a fun game that we might have to reintroduce to the group at some point. We were just getting so excited. Two of the only four people at the bar top.
How did that, like, I guess, what was the, was it like, I'm thinking of a person, this is like describing them, their exploits.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've played 20 questions before, yes? You can only answer questions.
Oh, 20 questions, sorry.
So I would start, and I would say male or female, you know, first, and then you would say whichever one, and we'd go from there. So then it'd be, you know, some of the questions would be, did this person take a party bus at one point?
Yep.
And, you know, did this person, or then you would start, you know, did they play football, whatever. And then one of mine was... he didn't get because it was actually a teacher. Oh, wow. Rewind one more time. There was a possible special guest that Muff swears he saw, and I tried chasing her down, but she was fleet of foot. She was fast. And I'm telling you, it wasn't her, but Muff is convinced it was.
Mrs. Johnson?
Yes.
No. She's moved to Vegas.
I mean, she is off the grid, obviously, because of some stuff that she has done. And we tried searching her on Instagrams and all, you know, you can't find her. So he was convinced, so I tried so hard chasing her down, but she was so fast, and I tried yelling her name, and no response. And like that, she was gone. So there you go. That was the game we played.
That's a classic muff ploy. Ooh, Miss Johnson. Ooh.
No, but you know, this is, I can do my impression right now. So we're walking through the casino,
okay,
and this is what he does. Oh, my God, Will. Oh, my God. You'll never guess. Oh, my God. Like, what? I crap you not. That's Miss Johnson. No, it's not. No, she just walked. And then, you know, now it's been like a minute. And then I'm like, well, where is she? He's like, oh, she walked by a while ago. It's like, what? Well, I'm going to go chase her. And anyway, yep. did not happen. So
maybe that's where the Facebook came from. Maybe either FaceTime.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, that could be. Yeah. You know what? Because I ran and tried to chase her.
No,
so there
Miss
you go.
Johnson, dude.
That's the game. That was the Tiki's. And then gambling wise, not great. We lost a lot. Not a lot, but we just lost. So good times, though.
Sounds like a great trip. I want to circle back on something I feel like, personally, I'm not a hugely experienced sports bettor. I mean, I roll with the DFS. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd call that gambling. Some would say it's a game. But I feel like, and I have a confession to make, Will, here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Follow us at ATF Fantasy on Twitter. I have never done a sports parlay before in like an actual, you know, casino sense. But I feel like these touch screens where you can, because I don't know the odds. So I'd be like, I want to pick X, Y, Z. And the guy would be like, okay, you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Here's your odds. And so I feel like this touch screen is a little revolutionary from that perspective. So excited when we get back to Vegas to make that happen.
Yeah, you got a year notice.
Hopefully there's not a global pandemic and, you know, the children are better. So.
True. One last thing before we move on to the next kind of actual part of the podcast. So tonight at a local brewery, one of the million, there is emo music bingo night. Something that would be near dear to my heart. Now, emo, of course, is, I mean, I wouldn't really call it a genre of music. I mean, you know, I would kind of just put a random thousands of bands in that kind of segment. But I wanted to bring it up because I want to go, and I think we'll make it happen tonight. Never really played music bingo, but I guess they don't tell you the name of the song. You just have to assume you have it and make bingo with it. And the one thing I thought was weird was they had Green Day as the picture. So where do you stand Green Day? I mean, it was obviously the picture of the album cover, American Idiot. So just the heart thing. Emo? Yes or no? No.
No. I mean, I typed in Green Day's hits, and I was like, none of these songs are really like sad.
Boulevard of
like,
Broken Dreams, I guess.
Emotional? Maybe. Yeah. It's just they're not emo. I guess they're like pop punk.
Oh, for sure. Pop punk. By the way, pop punk, a great subgenre to say that. Because like Ashley will sometimes, her friends like, so what music does Will like? And she'll be like, screaming. And I'm like, okay, no. Just say pop punk. Okay, so this is my secret game.
Okay.
Secret game reveal.
It's absolutely brutal technical death metal, go. Dude.
Okay, Armaz. triple death, dumb machine. All right, here we go. Secret game. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated. Now, there can also be more info needed, so maybe you have no judgment on it. So we're going to go through 2000s screamo bands, okay?
All right. Yes.
So here we go.
Love it.
Overrated.
Love it.
Underrated or properly. You may have seen my text yesterday when I was listening to a playlist called 2000 Screamo and Bless the Fall came up. That one of my favorite songs, and that's not the band I'm going to bring up, but just kind of that's just the genre that we're going through here. So first band I'm going to bring up.
Yes.
Thursday.
Already
hard. Love it.
Because
love it.
This is already tough because I have an affinity for Thursday, so I find them to be underrated. I feel like from a music standpoint and a lyric standpoint, they're pretty top-notch within the screamo category. I will say that their screamer wasn't necessarily the best screamer, if that's kind of a thing. So I find them to be underrated.
Wow, I can't wait for the controversy. I know Greg's going to be having a ball with this. So I'm going to go overrated. I used to love Thursday. And I've now been doing a bunch of listening on the catalogs. And I will tell you this. I will say Full Collapse, great album. Yes. Paris in Flames, Standing on the Edge of Summer. And I think is Understanding Car Crash. That song, is that song from that? That might be from the War All the Time album.
That's the other one.
So the reason I bring say overrated is because War All the Time, that album. I thought I loved that album, and I thought I loved that song. And I started listening to that again. I think it was actually yesterday. And I was like, ooh.
It doesn't hold
up. No, it's not
good. It doesn't
hold
up.
It's very – so it's like they took a little shift. But I was walking out to Paris in Flames today. That's a great song. But I think they are overrated in terms of just maybe – our category, or maybe people, like you just said it too, right? You just said, oh yeah, they were great, one of my favorite affinity. You just take a little listen, take a little re-listen, and tell me what you think. Moving on. Now, this is more.
Wait, can
of a
I tell
singer.
A quick story about quick oh, story about Bless go. The Fall?
Oh sure.
So one of the guys I went to college with, Brent, he grew up in Scottsdale, where Bless the Fall is from, and his band was like a rival of Bless the Fall, and they actually fought, like, got in a fist fight at a movie theater one time.
Wow.
I was like, the classic Donna Lament, Romeo and Juliet. So I don't know who our comp would be, but I like to think that we had a blood feud with some band that ended up actually being successful, so I don't know who that would be.
Just say it was, wasn't there there was a band that went to our school, I forget. Shoot. Oh, it doesn't matter. All right, I'm going to say singer, but he is known for two big bands, Ronnie Radke.
Well, so he's in what, Escape the Fate?
He was Escape the Fate original
Falling
singer.
Falling in Reverse?
And now Falling in Reverse, yes.
Well, you know how we feel about Escape the Fate. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know a lot of Falling in Reverse. I'm trying to think of differentiating him within the Escape the Fate catalog. Was he just their first album?
Yeah, he was their,
I guess
so,
their first bigger album.
Their first album, not their first. I mean, no Truth and Something Cliche and Not Good Enough for Truth and Cliche. There you go. That album. It's a great album, by the way. Situations.
He's also big online now.
Oh wow.
Like, he's a big Twitch star, I feel like.
Oh wow.
He gets a lot of people watching him. So I feel like from I guess the music perspective, he's probably properly rated, but he's in just like, I don't know, the lifestyle, I think he's a little overrated.
I agree.
Didn't he go to jail too?
I agree. What'd you say?
Didn't he go to jail or something?
Yeah, well that's why he got out of the first, Escape. I think a drug addict and all that stuff for Escape the Fate. I'm assuming he went there, but let's see. Don't care. But yeah, I don't know about I'm looking for his Twitch stuff. Nothing there. Anyway, I would say overrated as well. I hate Falling in Reverse. I've tried so hard to listen to them. I think his voice just, I mean, I really like the first Escape the Fate band album. But anyway, yeah. All right, next one. We only got two more, so don't worry. Thanks for listening, guys. All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. This is the emo, screamo bands, overrated, underrated, properly rated segment that you've all been waiting for. Next one, A Static Lullaby.
Ooh. Well, they have some bangers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I've listened to those bangers in the past year, so I'm struggling to say whether they hold up or not. I would probably say they were never in the lexicon of screamo. They were maybe in that earlier phase when they were their biggest, but they still weren't the big bands of the time. So I would say they're probably a little underrated from my perspective.
I agree 100%. Now that is one of my favorite bands ever. So of course I would say underrated. But you're right, they never made it into the big lexicon. They do have what their probably biggest hit was The Shooting Star That Destroyed Us All, if you remember that song.
I do.
That is from their first album, I believe. And then they got kind of weird, and then they went back to being cool. So there you go. That is them. The last band, Jeff, Now, this is going to be, I don't know where you're going to stand on this. I don't know where some of our listeners are going to stand on this. Chiodos.
I think I know where you stand on this. I think they're properly rated. Like, in the comparison to A Static Lullaby, Chiodos was, you know, what people would consider a top-tier emo screamo band of that time. I think they're kind of prey to their first album. I really liked a lot. Their second album, I think I only liked it at the time because I really liked the first album. And listening back to it, I was like, this does not hold up. So I think they were properly rated at the time, but they had a steep decline, if that's fair.
Yeah.
And their singer was also, I don't know, he had some controversies.
I was going to say, losing singers, switching singers halfway through. And, you know, everyone goes through the, who's that singer who goes for like 8 different bands? Oh my goodness. He went from...
Johnny Craig or Carter.
I think it was Johnny. It's got to be Johnny Craig. That's what I'm thinking of. He started a band called Destroy Rebuild. Oh, sorry. This is great.
Great audio medium.
Great fodder. The answer is... Oh, my God. Of course, I have to click on more info to find it. Craig Owens. That's who I'm thinking of. The Craig Owens stage. Yeah. Because he went to Chiodos for... like an album or two, and then he got kicked out, then he went back in. Sound of Animals Fighting, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then he made Destroy Rebuild Until God Shows, but that was only for one album. Yeah, there we go. That's okay. Thank you. Craig Owens phase. A lot of bands have a Craig Owens phase. All right. That was underrated, overrated.
What was your rating?
Chiodos, overrated.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, seeing him live really just... not a big... That's pretty much when I...
Some bands you should never see live.
Yeah. When you hear whiny voices, that's just how it is. Jeff, I thoroughly enjoyed that game. There will be no feedback at all whatsoever from that segment.
But if you do have feedback...
No, there will be.
You should be like Jose and hit us up on Twitter. We teased it 2 times. We said it was the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast Jose Edition. He is by far a champion... a leader of men, and in our podcast, he is the winner of the Twitter challenge. Jose, come back to us on Twitter and get your people engaged. We saw some people you brought to the platform who were, you know, quite well followed. So engage with us. What kind of card do you want? I think I got some screenshots from Scotty. I don't know if he wants Buffalo Wild Wings. If that's what you want. Go ahead and tag Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know how Will feels about having them as an unofficial official sponsor. They're definitely below Shake Shack from that perspective. But if that's what you, the top person of the pod, demands.
He is in the All the Feels Fantasy Hall of Fame, Jeff. And if I were to do that to use as a transition, let's move on to the NFL news, Jeff. And... Phillip Rivers retires. He is in the same draft class as Eli Manning, who retired last year. Ben Roethlisberger possibly around that time of retirement, maybe one more year. Drew Brees is retiring, who Phillip Rivers was drafted to replace Drew Brees. So look at that. They're both retiring at the same time. Pretty interesting stuff. You posted a link that I actually already clicked on a couple days ago just to kind of see – where certain people were, and it's the top 10 quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. For those who don't know, number one is pretty obvious, and that's Dan Marino. I think you had him, Phillip Rivers, 5th on this list.
Yeah.
And, of course, the likes of, you know, Fran Tarkenton is on this list as well. I think he is an absolute Hall of Famer, Phillip Rivers. That is, I am biased. I am a Chargers fan. But he is 5th all-time in yards, 5th all-time in touchdowns, although touchdowns he will probably be passed next year by Aaron Rodgers, who is still playing. I think Roethlisberger needs about 15 more to catch him. 5th all-time in those 2 stats. He has the 2nd longest starting streak of all time. He never missed a game, even with a torn ACL. He still played in the playoffs back in 07. Your thoughts, Jeff? on Phillip Rivers. Is he a Hall of Famer? Any fond memories? Because I've got a ton of memories.
Yeah, you'll definitely have more memories. I think, I hope that his legacy, Hall of Fame or not, is about those things that you talked about, how he was so efficient, how he was an Iron Man, how his personality on the field and what he brought to the game and his teammates, and not about some of his late game blunders or his inability to take that team when the 06, 07 teams that were stacked to the Super Bowl and to win it all. I think obviously he's from our era, and I never got to watch. I don't go back and watch old archives of Fran Tarkenton scrambling around. He was just so efficient, you know. People overlook that, of how hard it is to complete, you know, 20 plus passes in a row in a game. It's you know, virtually impossible. It never happens. That's why it's a record. I always enjoy Phillip Rivers. He was unfortunately a scapegoat for a franchise that, you know, had a lot of tumult around the end of his career. And obviously going to the Colts for one season to try and get it. And he almost did, but, the league will be a worse place. I mean, without him, you look at his retirement note, it oozes with personality. It's not like a standard corpo statement. I mean, dadgummit was, trending on Twitter the other day, and he had about 6 lines dedicated to his children. So, because there are just so many. So we wish you well, Philip. You know, Major Philip Rivers is a handle on Twitter. I didn't know about it, in the same vein of Captain Andrew Luck. So, loved that finding, unfortunately, too late. I'll give you the floor as the Chargers fan to have the last word on old Phil.
Scapegoat is perfect. For like what he was for them. I mean, people can say what they want about him choking or the Chargers choking, but there was nothing more exciting in the last 14 years, and especially with the advent of Red Zone. You knew you were getting a Chargers game with 5 minutes left because they were going to be down 8, and Phillip Rivers was going to have to go 85 yards with no timeouts and 30 seconds left. Because that's just how they played every single game. Would it end up in an interception? Maybe. Would it end up in a touchdown? Probably not. Would there be some chicanery going on? Chicanery, you know, the word of the pod. Probably. I think, you know, our favorite pod, ATN, posted a tweet the other day. Hey, what's your favorite Phillip Rivers memory or whatever was the funniest Phillip Rivers moment? Something like that. And I always take it back to a night we were in Vegas. Halloween 2011, when he fumbled what was going to be a game-winning field goal. He just needed to kneel it. He was going to kneel it so that they could, you know, kick a field goal. And it was a fumble against the Chiefs on Halloween night to kick a game-winning field goal. So that is one of my favorite memories ever. And just kind of exemplifies what happened in the Phillip Rivers tenure. So, Godspeed, and if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, it's just an absolute shame.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I think he will. I think it may take him I don't know if it'll be first ballot. I think it'll take him a while just because of the other people in that you mentioned off the top that are in his class, and you know, the fact that they have Super Bowls, whether they're better than him or not.
I'll get out of here with
voters
that.
View those nonsense winning categories sometimes. So, we wish you well, Philip. And now, out with the old, in with the new, Will. A lot of new coaches, some interesting names. Hallelujah. In the world of our league now, Chargers with a new coach. I don't know if we talked about this on last pod. I don't think we did. Brandon Staley, the new coach of the Chargers, a defensive mind for what, if Derwin James comes back, looks to be a stacked defense. Urban Meyer to the Jags is the other, you know, I would say bigger name, you know, obviously Salah, Arthur Smith, and Dan Campbell, the other additions. Maybe I do a little bit, put it back on you now, Will. Overrated, underrated, properly rated, the hype around some of these coaches. We'll start with the big name, Urban Meyer.
College coaches, not my fave. I mean, college coaches have typically struggled. I mean, we could even go to Cliff Kingsbury and say, like, oh.
Yeah, tell me about it, Gooch.
Yeah, is that right? that's weird. What? You just wake up? Okay. Urban Meyer, not a fan. I mean, like, honestly, no, let me rephrase this. How about I just order this in terms of fan, like, favorite to least favorite. I'll do that. That'll be easier for me because it's hard to say if Urban Meyer is overrated or underrated when he hasn't really – I mean, it's got to be overrated just because he hasn't coached yet in the NFL. But if I were to go to, like, the worst out of all these, it's Dan Campbell. Like, what the hell? Lions. Yeah. You –
not great.
This was a dude who was the interim head coach of the Dolphins when they got rid of, Joe Philbin, I think. Like 3-4 years ago. I might have been, I don't even know if there was there someone else after Joe Philbin? I can't even remember. Yes, who was after Chuck? Who was after Joe Philbin? Oh, it was Adam Gase. I don't even know anymore. Doesn't matter. Dan Campbell. I don't even know where he's been. Didn't even know he was still coaching in the NFL. And the way he talks is hilarious. I even think there's already, he just had his press conference, by the way, while we were talking, and he has like this weird curly hair, and I thought he was bald. I don't know, but he just goes like, he says like, how did you get hired? He's like, I just told them that I'm Dan Campbell. What? Because that's what he, like, there's famous quotes going on, like when he used to coach the Dolphins, they had Jarvis Landry, and there's a quote he has where it's like, you know, Jarvis Landry, he's a football player. I know they're all football players, but Jarvis Landry is a football player. Like, that's stuff he says. Like, he's just total coach speak, you know, total man Campbell is what they called him in Miami. He's got some guns, his arms. But for the Lions to kind of just, they went from Matt Patricia to this guy. Like, talk about either lateral move or just, you know, lowering expectations. I think that's just, so he's on his own the other level. You know, best to worst, overrated, all that stuff. I think Urban Meyer is just a little questionable only because I don't think he would have took that job if they didn't have the number one pick going to the Jaguars. I think Arthur Smith and Brandon Staley, I would kind of get on the same page here. Just kind of, they had some good coordinator years. Brandon Staley really only won. So they get kind of jobs based on the success that they've had this year or in the last couple years. I think the best one, and everyone's kind of agreeing here, is Robert Saleh.
Hallelujah.
He just has been he's been on the radar for a couple of years now, and he loves the camera. People love getting pumped up when they watch him. He shows a lot of emotion. He doesn't seem like a dude who's going to take no guff. You know, he's going to come in there.
Oh, no.
And he's just going to let it rip. He's going to tell him how it is. Not like Dan Campbell, by the way. Not like that guy. I mean,
well, he's Dan Campbell. So.
He is Dan Campbell. I told my agent that I'm Dan Campbell. This is Saleh gonna come in there, and he's gonna, I think, similar to the Rex Ryan thing, I would think, right? Kind of like that. Jeez, Gucci. That mentality. So, I like Saleh. I hope the Jets get success. Although I hate the Jets and their fans. So it's kind of like a two-pronged thing there, because I don't really like the Jets fans at all.
At least make them more interesting, you know.
I mean, that's all we can hope they're for. Pretty interesting now, just because they're awful and they're fun to hate.
Well, yeah. But, you know, things that we don't hate and things that aren't awful and things that we're not bad at, playoff challenges, Will.
I mean.
Woo-wee. Sitting at 2,756 in the old rankings. What are the, there's like
out of 13,000, by the way. There was 13,000 people.
Look at that. Look at that, people. 283 points. We're only about 50 off the top. Players left. We have Brady, Diggs, Devonta, and Kelsey. Devonta and Kelsey both with 60% plus ownership. Diggs right around there. Brady under 10%. So you know where our bread is buttered with TB12. How are you feeling, Will? Obviously, last week with Michael Thomas, he did well that first week, right? He got a touchdown, I think 5 or 6 receptions, 50 yards or so. So that was everything we needed from our kind of dark horse pick, since we did switch from Kamara, I believe, at some point. So he got a 0. I think he had 5 targets, no catches. Not great. But I feel like with the people that we have left, And you were doing some research, and it looks like a lot of people at the top have Brady. So I think that means we ride or die with the Diggs. You know what I'm saying? If Diggs, I don't know what his ownership percentage is in the people above us, but he keeps putting up over 100 and a TD. I mean, he's our ride or die.
So Diggs, I don't know. I honestly, because I think everyone above us has the same base team. I really do think a lot of people have, if there's going to be people with these teams, are going to have these players at this point. Unless, especially with someone having Brady, if people above us had Josh Allen, then we would know, you know, they might have like Godwin or something. You know, it's nice to know that people did pick Ronald Jones, like Jason Bell. So people who picked Ronald Jones, you know, hey, that's great for us. As far as the, you know, did people pick Aaron Jones, you know, 30%? Well, or they could have picked Rodgers as well. So I just think we have to have Brady score 25 to 30 points. That'll get us up, you know, over the 300 mark, get us to about 310. And then after that, just hope the rest of the players give us about 10 each or so. We just need Brady to outscore the other players. That's what we need. We can't have Brady give us 15 and the other players give us 20, because then that's a lateral kind of gain with everybody else.
Yep.
But I love it. I love our chances. I think I said in the beginning, I think before the pod, I don't remember when I said it, but I think it's top 600 get cashed out. So for only, what was it, a $35 entry fee to still be like in this, you know, in the arm's reach, and I believe it's $100 like to cash out. So very exciting stuff.
Triple up.
Definitely be watching. Rating, if we lose by like 4 points, I'm going to be very upset, because Michael Thomas, unbelievable.
Yeah. Our freaking Derrick Henry.
But that, see, Derrick Henry, though, we can't get mad. Michael Thomas is our contrarian play. Like, everybody had Derrick Henry. So. True. Oh, and the last thing I wrote, too, I was able to find that we were the only team out of 13,000 that had our exact lineup. So we had a chance to win. Like, for sure, because that's the point, too, right?
Yeah.
You need to be unique with your plays. So we were the only team. I thought that was a really cool stat that I found.
Jason Myers pulled through.
Oh, yeah. That was what a play there, Jason Myers. Great pull from him. All right, let's just get to the NFL matchups before we call it a day. The Packers versus the Buccaneers, and then we got the Chiefs versus the Bills. I kind of wrote, like, you know, were we surprised by anything? It's not all chalk, because technically the Saints were the 2 seed, but yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone wanted to see them, right? Especially after watching that game and just Breeze not looking himself, and you know, Jameis Winston's the one throwing the touchdowns. I think seeing Brady versus Rodgers is something that we were all hyped up for, and then Bills versus Chiefs. So. Are you excited? Let's just start right there. Are you excited for this Final Four?
Oh, yeah. I think this is, at least on the AFC side, I think the two best teams.
Mm.
And I think on the NFC side, not two best teams overall, but two of the top teams from the AFC. And then on the NFC side, I think it's an intriguing matchup with the big names. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. In Lambeau Field, Packers, Bucks, very close spread. It's a pretty much a coin flip. Green Bay favored by 3.5. 50.5 point over under. That seems maybe about right, maybe a little high. I might go under on that. Green Bay, obviously, the favorite on the money line bets. Will, what do you think about this matchup?
So Aaron Rodgers had a really good quote. They said, hey, you know, you guys lost 38-10 last time you played each other. It was like week 6 or week 8, whatever it was. They did. They got destroyed. They were up 10-0, and then Tampa Bay scored 38 unanswered points. And Aaron Rodgers said, well, the Saints beat the Bucks 38-3. We all saw what happened. And he's right. The Saints destroyed the Buccaneers, you know, 10 games ago. And we come out and we see what happens. So it's all about how you play now in the playoffs, and I think both teams are playing very well. Brady, not as great as he could be. He also didn't look amazing in that Saints game. But the Saints have a pretty good defense, and they've
Yes.
Notoriously stopped the Buccaneers every time they've played. So to have them play each other right now, the Bucs and the Packers, about where they are defensively and offensively, it just seems like it's going to be a really good matchup. And I'm excited just to kind of see. I mean, I won't be able to see. I'll be at work, but you know, I'll be following it on the old GameCast.
Yeah.
And if I were to pick one, I don't know what I would do. I would say I would take maybe the points with Tampa Bay, and I think it'll be a 3-point game. The over/under's tricky. It's going to be in Green Bay. I don't know. I hope it's a good game. I hope we don't get blowouts. We didn't really go over, but you know, the games weren't terribly exciting. The game of the weekend was Browns and Chiefs. Bills and Ravens was exciting, but not so much because of how close it was, just because of the players involved, and it was like the kind of premier matchup everyone was looking for.
Yep.
But if I were to pick right now, I would say I think Green Bay does win the game. But my heart, you know, we want TB. And as Jose, superfan, tweeted at us, and the memes have been going around. You know, the Cowboys have made one championship game in the last 20 years. Tom Brady did it in his first try. Yeah. In the NFC. Yeah. Sorry.
Awesome. Awesome. Real testament to the coach and the players.
There. Next up, the Chiefs and the Bills. Number one versus number two. Two of the best quarterbacks of the year. I mean, honestly, all these four would be three of the four best quarterbacks all year, with Tom Brady heating up over the last month and a half of the season. But Bills and Chiefs. -2.5 for the Chiefs, over under 53, pretty high over under. I think it actually is up to 54 now. And I think anything can happen in this game. This is, like, people have been saying, and we've all been saying, the Chiefs kind of start slow, and they did. They actually started out on fire against the Browns until Mahomes got hurt. But even then, it was kind of like a slow burn. They scored fast right away. But then even with Mahomes, I believe they had 16 points through 2.5 quarters. So it was not necessarily the high scoring affair against the Browns defense that isn't great. I don't know what to expect of this game. I think Stephon Diggs is going to have a monster. I don't think the Bills running game is going to be very good. I think it's going to be a high flying passing attack for both teams. We'll see if Edwards-Helaire is still out, and we'll see if Mahomes is 100%. Jeff, what say you?
Yeah, I think that's the key point that you hit on at the very end. Like, where is Mahomes? You know, Chad Henne, and you know, throwing bombs on was it third or fourth and two or whatever.
Third punt, third down punt.
Third down punt. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think both teams have, the Chiefs have kind of just skated by. It's like, if there was a game, this is when they need to turn it on for the entire time, because the Bills, you know, they may not have the best defense, but it's coming on, and the offense has the potential, doesn't always live up to it, but to score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. So you would think if a team could keep up in a shootout, it would be Josh Allen and the Bills. I don't hate the Chiefs defense, but I don't think they're the best unit in the remaining four teams. So the point spread is interesting. -2.5 for KC. I think the Chiefs win. I think it's close. But I don't know. I kind of want the Bills. I like the Chiefs. I don't have anything against them. I guess I like Andy Reid. But I kind of just want to see the Bills make it for Bills Mafia and just some new blood.
Just out of these four, what do you want? You just kind of tease it, sort of, Bills, Chiefs. But who do you want to see in this Super? What makes the most exciting for you? As Eli Manning is pouring Frank's Red Hot onto flowers.
Yeah, I think from the beginning, my head told me Green Bay, KC, and that would be a great game. But I think my heart wants Tampa Bay, Buffalo.
Whoa.
Just two teams that...
Wow.
For both playoff challenge and, you know...
Yeah.
As a former hater of Josh Allen, it's nice to see people defy the odds and become have put together a really good season. Now whether we can do it over time is another thing, but I think it would just be intriguing. I do like Aaron Rodgers, Cal guy, so I wouldn't be too sad if the Packers made it.
I think any of these matchups is great. I think the only, I mean, honestly, I think any of the matchups would garner a great TV ratings as well. Not that the Super Bowl ever doesn't, but if you have Green Bay versus Buffalo, you got, I mean, pretty much anyone versus Buffalo, you got the old versus the new, right? You got Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen. If you have KC, you can still say Patrick Mahomes is new as well, but they're the defending Super Bowl champions. No one's won it twice in a row since, what, the Patriots in 2004, 2005? With, you know, when they beat the Eagles and then they beat, or sorry, they beat the Panthers and they beat the Eagles. So that will be the last time there's a defending. You don't need to look it up. Come on. I'm a NFL encyclopedia. You don't need
03, 04. Yeah.
There you go. So it'll be the first one since that. That's a long time. And, you know, people always say, oh, NFL parody, NFL parody. But technically, really, not the most parody since the Patriots had kind of ruled the NFL for so long. But that's what makes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kind of a good story, too. Right? Like, Tom Brady showed that he can do it without Bill Belichick, while Bill Belichick is struggling to find out if Jared Stidham is his quarterback of the future. Or you can, you know, Aaron Rodgers had the year of an amazing year where he's probably going to win MVP. I like any of these matchups. I think the Bills are just, and we've talked about them before, I think they have the most underrated uniforms in the NFL. Everyone says the Chargers have the best uniforms, right?
Yeah.
But I think the Bills, I love the Bills uniforms. I love their blue jersey with their white helmet and the red and blue on top. Like, I think it just looks amazing. It looks classic. I would love to watch Stephon. I mean, if Stephon Diggs just, I mean, Super Bowl MVP, I would love to see Stephon Diggs just raising, like, a Super Bowl MVP trophy just to be like, you know what? This fantasy season may not have all been for, you know, wins, but if there's one thing that came out of it, it's that we were Diggs dudes since August.
Oh, yeah.
And now the dude's holding up a Super Bowl MVP trophy.
That would be amazing. And like you said, I was just going through the combinations, iterations. There's no bad matchups at this point.
Yeah.
I think every matchup will be great, some better than others, but in our league, we got some great games coming up.
I think the one that people maybe not want to see is Buccaneers-Chiefs only because that happened already this year.
Yeah.
We saw, just like we already saw Buccaneers-Packers. I do think that one is like, oh, they just played and the Chiefs destroyed the Buccaneers. Tyreek Hill had, what, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, right? Didn't he have like 200? Yeah. And that, I mean, that was pretty recent too. That was like maybe 5 weeks ago. So maybe that's the one where people are like, okay, we just saw this game, and it was not a good game.
No.
That's it?
But that's all we got.
Name this high schooler. Okay. 20 questions. Yes, Jeff, what a show. I'm excited. And just to kind of throw it out there, I'm going to pick Chiefs. I'm going to pick Bills and Packers. Boom. That's it. Done. Right in stone. Bills, Packers.
Put it, that's it. In that's it. Stone. I wanted to give you one, Will, to hit off the 2000 Screamo. Huh. Properly under overrated.
Oh.
Emery. What do you think about that?
Oh, okay. I was like, are you going to get... No, that's what we... Emery?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is near... That is an... I mean, I want to say underrated, but I'm sure it's properly rated. They are nowhere near overrated, that is for sure. I'm going to say underrated because I don't think they ever... Like, they were never mainstream, I don't think. Like, even Hawthorne Heights was mainstream at one point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to say underrated just because Emery, Walls, I just the whole second album, The Question, I mean, that whole album is fantastic. Jeez, I don't know. I love Emery. Great band. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Well, underrated. Well, nightcap there on the episode.
And yes, Greg, Nikki FM, good song. Fine. This was the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Jose, tweet at us. Do you want some B-dubs? Do you want Shake Shack? What do you want? We'll hook it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Rate, review. All right, Terry, at ATF Fantasy on Twitter. Subscribe, whatever. Let's see how many downloads we can get. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week. And then remember, people, 1 year notice for Vegas Strip Mixer. Peace.
You're on notice. Peace out.